So, all right. Everybody ready for the word? Yes, praise the Lord. Let me see your Bibles. Let me see those Bibles or your phones. You know, I don't know what we would do without the word. Honestly. Don't know what we would do without it. And whenever, you know, something hits me, this is the first place I go to. And I see what God says about the situation. And that's how we need to be. You know, it needs to be written in our hearts as well. So let's make this confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Today I will receive the incorruptible, ever-living, never-changing, Holy Ghost-powered Word of God, and I'll be changed in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. 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 All right. Why don't you go ahead? I'm going to give you two texts first. We're going to read that. Go to Galatians chapter 3 first. While you're going there, real quick, Abraham and TK Codell have done a little worship tour. They're down in Georgia and Atlanta. I think they're going to Florida next. So they've been plugging the church, you know, that they came from Word Alive, and now they're out doing tours, worship tours. So praise the Lord. Keep praying for them. Miss Barbara's out ministering next weekend? No, soon, right? She'll be at the regional Church of God conference? Fellowship. I'm not talking to you. Talking to you. She can speak for herself, Miss Reverend Barbara Williams. Really? But we'll be praying for you. Fire it up. Amen. Amen. All right. Galatians chapter 3. You there? Are you there yet? Yes. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 6. I have several passages to read first, and then I'll get just to lay some groundwork, and then we'll get into the message. Good? All right. It says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now go to verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So that's going to be my main text. This is a series that I'm going to preach. Today is just an introduction. Next week, I think we mentioned Reverend Kevin Prophet will be preaching here. I had scheduled him months and months ago, so I need to honor that commitment. Everybody know Reverend Prophet? Yeah, he's a cool dude. So he'll be preaching next week, but I wanted to lay a little intro today on this. So that's my main text, and that's where we're going to build this from. So let me begin by saying that these days that we have been living in have become very, very difficult days for everybody, okay? Gas prices are at record levels. Inflation is almost at 9%. I don't think anybody in our generation has seen that. I remember gas lines when I was a kid. Anybody remember gas lines? Yep. I actually worked at a gas station during those lines, and I remember the lines going all the way down in the Bronx on 238th Street. Hess gas station, Erie Avenue, and all the way down the block. So gas is at a record premium. If you heat your house with oil, you know you'd have to take out a mortgage to just heat your house now. You know, we had COVID pandemic. Mental health is at its highest rate, especially for the youth, the young, than it's ever been. You know, and Anissa, I was talking to Anissa earlier, yesterday was Mental Health Day in Norwalk. So if you have any mental health issues, I know I'm not going to volunteer you, but I'm volunteering her. She'd be happy to help. She's a trained social worker in mental health. Her mom is also a trained social worker. So anyway, so we have that. We have short baby formula shortages. Who would ever think that would happen? Pipeline shortages. There are things, more and more we're seeing these things coming up. They're taking place. They're happening. And to top it all off, we have the monkeypox. Anybody heard about the monkeypox? Now listen, I have to say it, but if you were born before 1972, the doctors have said you already had the smallpox vaccine, and you don't have to worry, you're immune. Praise the Lord! Hey! That's what the doctor said. So go ahead and kiss a monkey, I don't care, you can't get a monkeypox. Like, yeah, everybody 50 and over, like, yes! I'm 50 and I'm proud. They said 1972. I don't know why they said 72. Maybe they stopped doing it because smallpox did. Anyway, so Matthew 24, Jesus said that these are signs that you're nearing the end. That the days where there'll be pestilences, rumors of war. War in Ukraine, I didn't mention that. You know everything that's going on. I don't have to tell you. But it seems like eventually there's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. You've heard that term? Right? There's just so much going on. People are beginning to snap. Crime rate is at a record high. Last week, there was a robbery at the Dunkin' Donuts on Connecticut Avenue. Listen, guy pulled out a gun. Ready? For a donut and a coffee. And he walked out. I'm not joking. Pulled out a gun for a donut and coffee, and that's it. And he walked out. So these things are causing a lot of desperate times and desperate acts. So we're at a point, as Matthew 24 is being fulfilled, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that the end times, the end of days, the last days, there'll be perilous times, right? And I mentioned what perilous means in the Greek. It's the word chalasso, means to break. So in other words, these days have been designed to break you. Right, and it says after that, that giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine to demons, right? And the purpose is for us to depart from the faith. That's the whole purpose behind this. You know, so we walk away from God and create the government as God. That's Revelation 13, right? The mark of the beast. That there'll be one world government and the government will control everything. That's the whole purpose why everything is happening. So the government becomes God. Now, if you recall Genesis chapter 3, when Satan came to Eve, he told her, you can be just like God. It's the same thing. And soon man will declare, government will declare that they're God. That's the beast, you know. And I'm not saying it's the American government. It's government. It's a one world government. Okay, so we're living in very difficult days. So how do we live as Christians in these days? What does it take? Do we lose our Christianity? Do we become like the world and cheat and steal and lie and do things like that? Or can we live righteous? Can we literally live by faith as the word says? Right? We're supposed to live by faith, correct? We don't live by the law, we live by faith. So what does it mean? Can we be effective? Strong, Bible-believing, tongue-talking, devil-stomping, Bible-carrying, church-going, God-worshiping Christians in this day. So I took a look at a couple of things in the Bible because this is affecting all of us. And I said, we can do this. Right? We're not losing hope. We can do this thing. We're going to run right to the end of our race with our heads up high, being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood-bought church, the full of the Holy Ghost and power, right? Signs, wonders, and miracles, preaching the gospel. And I noticed that it says here that God preached the gospel to Abraham way before we ever got here. I mean, we're talking, you know, almost 4,000 years ago, he preached the gospel to Abraham. So I said, there's got to be something about Mr. Abraham. And I looked, and let me read these scriptures again, because it's interesting, because it says here in Galatians 3, verse 9, it says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. We're of faith. That means we're blessed with believing Abraham. And if you go down to verse 14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. We're the Gentiles. And notice here it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. It says he was cursed, he hung on a tree, so that God could release the blessing of Abraham on us. We know we've died with Christ, right? We know we've been raised with Christ. We know we've been made alive with Christ. We know we've been seated with Christ. That's amazing. But to me, there's something else God did. There's an added benefit. He says, now there's a blessing that will come upon your life. And he said, it's the blessing of Abraham. Well, what in the world is this blessing of Abraham? It's got to be something meaningful, because Paul would have never put it in Galatians. And he said, listen, he said, in response to him being hung on a tree, God released the blessing of Abraham upon our lives. Say this, say, I'm blessed with believing Abraham. So we're blessed. Well, what is this blessing? Because, you know, we talk, you know, people say, well, say, I'm blessed. Well, you're really blessed? What blessed? What kind of blessing do you have? It says the blessing of Abraham. So what is it about Abraham's life that has to do with us? Is there anything we can learn from Abraham and how he lived that can affect us and live in these days? Romans 4:11 says that he is called the father of faith. So in other words, we call him Father Abraham. How many of you sang a song as kids? Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. Can I hit the keys, John? Can I? No, right? Everybody's like, no, don't do that. Spare us. Right? We used to do that as kids, right? Father Abraham, my sons. Anyway, why is he the father of faith? If he is literally our father of the faith, then how did he live by faith? Because we're commanded in the New Testament to live by faith. That means we have to learn from the Father. Amen. Our Father. My kids learned how to be a man by me. Our girls learned to be a woman by Janice, right? So we have a responsibility to teach the kids. So a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know how to be a Christian. They say, well, we have a father to learn from, the father of faith, Father Abraham. Go to Isaiah 51. Go to Isaiah 51. So we're going to study Abraham and how he lived during difficult days. How was he able to live by faith? And what is this blessing of Abraham what is this blessing that was on his life that is now on our lives? Isaiah 51. You there? All right. It says this. It says, listen to me. Verse 1. Sorry, did I say 1? Now I did. Isaiah 51, verse 1. It says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. Is that us? I think we could fit that category. He says, you who seek the Lord. Is that us? Yeah, I think that we fit that category, right? We're all here seeking the Lord. We wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning. We'd be belly up on the beach, right? That's why we're here. We're seeking the Lord. We want to hear his voice. We want to know his word, right? So notice it says, listen to me, all you who follow after righteousness and those who seek the Lord. He says, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. He says, look to Abraham, your father. Wow, Isaiah basically is telling us, he says, listen to me carefully. He says, if you're seeking after God, if you're hungry for God, if you want to live righteously, he says, then this is what you need to do. Consider the rock from which you were cut from. Let me say this. How many of you just need some new hope, some fresh hope? How many of you are just like, you know, you're kind of down in the dumps every now and then? How many of you are like getting really frustrated with the government? How many of you are frustrated when you see $5 a gallon? You know, how many of you are frustrated when you hear about the shortages for babies? How many of you are frustrated when you hear a politician say it's okay to kill a baby at birth? How many of you are frustrated, you know, with everything that's going on? How many of you are frustrated with racially motivated killings like Buffalo? I'm just sick of it. How many of us are frustrated with this stuff? It says, here's what you do. He says, remember the rock that you were cut from. If you're down in the dumps, consider the rock that you came from, that you are mined. Then it says, look to your father Abraham. So for us, when we live these days, you know, monkeypox, COVID, you know, all these pestilences, vaccine, no vaccine, you know, mask, no mask, and people are against you, dividing you and hating us and hating this and saying the nastiest things, a Republican against a Democrat and this and that. What does it say? Don't get caught up in that. He says, remember the rock that you came from. He says, that's where God cut you from. How many of you ever heard the term, you're a chip off the old block? That's what it's saying. In other words, that we've been chipped, we've been cut from the faith of Father Abraham. So he's got a lot to do with us living by faith. A lot to do with it. And we can learn from him. Then it says, he says, look to Abraham your father and Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Let me tell you what the New Living Translation says. I like it. It says it this way. It's pretty different. It says, listen to me, all who hope for deliverance and seek the Lord. He says, consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were mined. In other words, that's a big, deep rock. That's a big mine where all of us were cut from. Okay? But watch this. He says, yes. He says, think about Abraham, your ancestor, and Sarah, who gave birth to your nation. Abraham was only one man when I called him. Ready? He says, but when I blessed him, he became a great nation. In other words, this, the moment God blessed you, you became a great nation. There is greatness inside of you. There is greatness inside of you. It's the blessing of Abraham. Let me kind of give you an example, all right? It's not a great example, but I'm going to use my life as an example. So I know God called me to ministry before I ever met Janice. I know God called me. Then God blessed me because I answered the call. I started doing Bible studies. I think actually Peggy and Tommy were there years and years and years and years ago. I was doing Bible studies. I knew God called me. And he blessed me with that. Now, in that blessing, God began to add to me. He added a wife, a helpmate, someone who would stand by me when I said, I think we need to sell everything and move to Oklahoma. I think we need to quit our jobs and move to Oklahoma. She didn't say, no, you're nuts. I'm getting a divorce. I ain't doing this. She goes, if that's what God said, we need to obey. God added me a wife to follow me in that road, to follow God. Came back, started church. God began to add. added Pastor Brian. He added Reverend John. He added Bishop Gerald. He adds people like Jennifer and Paula and the Tubies and Miss Williams and everybody. I don't want to miss anybody's name, but he added everybody, Trish, all these gifts. In other words, God called one man in 1986, and in 2022, there's a ton of us doing the work that he's called us to. Everybody see that? In you is the same thing. There's a great nation inside of you just waiting for you to step out and obey the call. Now listen, I'm not saying everybody's called to ministry. What I'm saying is if you obey God, God will increase you. Now here's the interesting thing about Abraham. That God increased him, ready? It says in livestock and in silver and in gold. Now I know people hate prosperity message and things that I know that there is ditches on every side of these things. But God was specific when he blessed Abraham when he called him to be a nation. He made sure he had everything he needed, including wealth. There's nothing wrong with it as long as the wealth doesn't have you. As long as it doesn't control you. Listen, when we started, we rented a place that cost $40 to have one service. I didn't have $40. We believed God that we'd have $40 come in the offering. Our first service, we needed $40 to pay for the building. A small little chapel, Cranberry Chapel. And I was like, told the guy, I said, I don't know if can I pay you after the service? We rented the place. We had three people in service. We took up an offering. $80 came in. I was like, praise the Lord. I can pay for today and I can have another service next week. And we kept doing that and kept doing that, kept believing God. It was a walk by faith. Now, it's $9,000 for 1 month to rent this building. We've come a long way. But if I never believed God for 40, I could never believe him for 9,000. In other words, God has been increasing us along the way because we were obedient. 27 years later, you know, it may look like there's nobody here, but world impact is off the charts. Never look at surface. God's doing things around the world. So the blessing of Abraham is upon our lives. Amen. Go to Genesis 12. Let's take a high-level look at Abraham. So I'll say it again. If you're down in the dumps today or ever, if you feel everybody's turned their back on you, if you feel nothing's working, here's the first thing you need to do. Consider the rock from which you came from. I have said this many times, and forgive me if it sounds prideful, but I'm thankful God I'm a Greek. I'm not because I'm prideful of the Greeks, but God has allowed me to read the Bible in Greek. It's given me something special where I can read it. I can go to Greece and preach, but I can understand the Greek words. And I'm not saying it prideful, but listen, my faith is not in my heritage. My faith is in Father Abraham's heritage, the faith there. My heritage, he says, look at your father. He says, your father Abraham, from which that's where I come from. That's the rock that I've been cut from Father Abraham. That's the rock we've all cut from. All right, everybody good? Genesis 12. Let's go there. Let's start there. Let's take a look at Abraham. Genesis 12. You good? You good? You good? Everybody good? You get anything out of this so far? All right. It's going to be a good series, I think, because once you take a look at Abraham, I think you'll take a little pressure off of yourself. On hey, we can do this. Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, everybody there? Okay. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'm going to say this again. Everything we're going through, that same blessing on him is on you. You got that? That's the whole point of this series. The same. Say the same.
The same.
The same blessing on him is on you. Exactly the same. God said it. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to pump you up. Say, oh, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you what the word says. That those who are, he was cursed so that the blessing of Abraham may be released upon us, the Gentiles. So whatever I'm reading about Abraham's life is also on our lives. He says, I will bless you and I will make your name great. I will bless though, and you shall be a blessing. Whoo! Hey, you have to be able to prosper to be a blessing. You have to. I may not be a millionaire, but God has blessed me to be a blessing with the word. Notice this. It says, and I will bless those who bless you. Praise the Lord. Anybody who blesses me, I just pronounce a blessing right back to their lives. Guess what? You're blessed because you did that. Why do you say that? Because the blessing of Abraham is on my life. And whoever blesses me is blessed. God bless you. Watch this. And I will curse him who curses you. Look out, baby. This is part of the blessing. I'm not saying that you can tell people to drop down, you know. But just know, anybody who comes against you, just step back. And God said, vengeance is mine, baby. You just let me deal with it. They stab you in the back, try to rob you, you know, cheat you out of your money or do things. Just let it go. God will deal with it. He says he will curse those who curse you. That's the blessing of Abraham, because you're a great nation. You are God's nation. And if you're God's nation, no one can touch you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. But don't take matters into your own hands, because then God will say, okay, you deal with it. God says, if you want me to deal with it, I'll deal with it. He says, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I declare that everybody who lives around my neighborhood is blessed because I'm there. When we get on a plane, listen, if we were on a plane a couple years back, right? We went to pick up her father who just had a stroke. We had to pick him up from North Carolina, bring him back to a healthcare center, a nursing home in New Milford. We had to fly down there. It was a snowstorm, remember? Middle of the night, about midnight. And the plane is a little small, one seat on each side. It's bouncing, it's jumping. It's the kid behind us was screaming, we're going to die, right? We're going to die, because we're doing this, bam, bam, bam. It was in the middle of a storm. He was doing 700 miles an hour because we found out it was the pilot's birthday, and he wanted to get home by 11:59. So he was literally flying past the speed limit. He said it. He was breaking the speed limit. But because of that, it was, anyway. Yeah, so I looked at Janice. I said, this kid better thank his lucky stars we are on this plane. Because it is not going down while we're in this plane. Why? Because the blessing of Abraham is upon our lives. So I read all these things, right? Because he said, listen, Galatians 3 is clear. He was cursed that the blessing of Abraham might come upon our lives. So now I look at the blessing of Abraham. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. You'll be a blessing. Your name will be great. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So in other words, people around you are blessed. Your work is blessed because you're there. The plane that you get on is blessed because you're on that plane. You got to declare these things. This is faith. He's the father of faith. Now go to one verse, two verses before that. Go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. I'm going to throw this theory out at you. Okay? Genesis 11, verse 31. Just go there for a second. You just got to go up two verses. And Terah was Abraham's father, or Abram at that point, Abram's father. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, because Haran died. That was his brother, Abraham's brother. And his daughter-in-law Sarah, and his son Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from the Ur of Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Isn't it interesting that it seems to me that God already spoke to Terah to go to Canaan? But for some reason, he winds up in Haran. He doesn't continue to Canaan completely. And because of that, he dies in Haran. Why would Terah leave and go to Canaan land? Because then God tells Abraham, we all know that God told Abraham to do that. We've preached that for years. I don't know. It seems like God or something, Terah had a visitation, and he says, I want you to go to Canaan's land. But he didn't make it. So now watch this. So now, because his father dies in Haran, he wasn't in Canaan's land like he was supposed to, God now speaks to Abraham. He says, here's what you do, Abraham. I want you to get out from where you're at. He says, and I want you to take your family, leave your family, leave everybody behind, and go to Canaan's land, the land that I will show you. He says, and if you do, you'll be blessed, and I'll make you a great nation. Isn't it interesting? It's my theory. In other words, here's what I'm telling you. Whatever call is on your life, you better you better protect it, because it will pass on to your kids. If you don't fulfill it, it'll pass on to your kids. That same call was on Abraham. Now watch this. So Abraham, now listen, now I read there's an ancient Arabic historian named, I think it's pronounced Abula Faragi. He's an Arabic historian. Arabic historian. And he writes this, that Abraham was actually in Haran for 15 years. So he arrived in Haran with his father when he was 60 years old, still living under his father's house at 60. And then God speaks to him, who knows when, but when he left Haran, he was 75. So he lived there for 15 years, according to ancient writings. Now watch this. So for 15 years he was there. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So it doesn't say how long he was in Haran, but according to ancient writings, he was there for 15 years. Watch this. Then Abram took Sarah's wife and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan, so they came to the land of Canaan. Notice there's two things that he had when he left Haran. After God blessed him, he may have taken 15 years to leave. We don't know. It may have been 15 years after God spoke to him. But we know this, that when God blessed him, it says he acquired possessions and he acquired people. Now, it's you can almost say, and you got to be careful here, it doesn't say that he had slaves, that he bought slaves, but when you become a nation, when he left, he had livestock, right? Goats and camels, it says. He had goats and camels and everything. You need herdsmen. In other words, you need to hire people to work for you. So when it says he acquired people, he actually acquired employees. But let me say it a different way. If you're a nation, you need people to run your nation. So it says he has all this livestock, all these possessions. Genesis 13 says he was very rich in livestock, in gold and silver. How did he get that? God blessed him. He became a nation. What does a nation do? It works. He started an economy. He was buying and selling and growing animals and doing all these things, hiring people. So when it says that he gathered people, he acquired people, he was acquiring employees. He's becoming a great nation. Let me say it this way. Because he obeyed God, there were families in the earth that were putting food on the table. There were families on the earth who now had a business, who now had an income, who now could prosper because one man followed God. One man or one woman following God will be a blessing to the world. So here's the other, what time is it? Are you guys good? All right. So let me kind of sum this up a little bit, okay? So he has to leave Haran. He's got livestock, right? Lambs, camels, goats, whatever else, sheep, whatever else he's got, dogs, cats, you know. He's got to take those, all that, and all the people that he's acquired. He's got to take all those people, and now they got to go from Haran to Canaan's land. It's a distance. They travel through the desert. Listen, so now you got to pick everything up, all those people that you're employed with, that you've employed. You got to pack up your stuff. There is no Hertz moving trucks. There's no budget rent a truck. You've got to pack everything up, and you've got to now travel. And the distance you can travel in those days was about 2 miles a day. So for it to go from Haran to Canaan's land is going to take a while. And listen, on the road, there's one desert. There's no 95. You can't pick 95 or the Merit. If there's a traffic jam, if a camel breaks down, you're stuck. There is no rest stop on the way to go pee-pee. Sorry. There's no Chick-fil-A to get a sandwich or waffle fries or a sweet tea on the road. What? Come on. That's the way it was. In other words, you were a self-sustaining nation. That, what we call the caravan, was self-sufficient. After they would travel from daylight to sunlight, they would stop, prop up their tents, they would sacrifice a goat, and they would feed everybody. A nation. If somebody came in the middle of the night, the pirates or bandidos, whatever you call them, there was no 911, hello, dispatch, can I help you? What's your emergency? You protected yourself. There's no ambulance. There's no Walgreens in the middle of the night. You self-sustained yourself. Now, contrary to popular belief, Abraham was not just a nice guy. See, a lot of times we have these pictures in the Bible of these characters being really sweet guys. Do you know that Abraham had a military? That he had 318 men that he personally trained in the art of killing. You don't believe me? Go to Genesis 14. Don't believe me? Go to Genesis 14. Let's take a look. Go to verse, 14. Genesis 14:14. You there? It says, now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house, and then went in pursuit as far as Dan. In other words, he personally trained these guys in karate. He trained them how to be a warrior. In other words, he had to be a warrior in order to train warriors. And here's the thing about he's such a great nation, that these people, these other kings, have you ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, Sodom was a city. There was a king over Sodom. There was a king over Gomorrah. There was kings. There were little kingdoms everywhere. Like there was like the king of Norwalk, right? The king of this. As they would travel, these kings just constantly went to war. There was no peace treaties. There was no Swiss, Belgium, whatever, you know, what are they called? A Swiss, whatever, those peace treaties that they signed. NATO, there was NATO, no UN, nothing. You were self-sufficient. But he was such a fierce, Abraham was such a fierce nation that they actually went and called him and said, hey, can you help us fight this guy? Because your guys are blessed. Let me tell you what I mean. When somebody has an illness or needs a healing, they go to Word Alive to get the those spiritual prayer warriors are amazing. You guys got a name for yourselves. I'm going to you for prayer, because every time you pray, yes, Sister Donna, when you guys pray, something happens. Now, I'm not just saying us, but the church should be known by the world as a fierce spiritual prayer warriors. When war breaks out, the mayor should pick up the phone or the president, hey, can you pray for us? Because I know your God hears you when you pray. You see, you think we live in tough times? Abraham never got on Facebook to complain about gas prices. He didn't do selfies on Instagram about how bad it is. Having a tough time here in the desert. You believe the McDonald's ice cream machine is out of ice cream? Wait, let me tag a bunch of people. Janice, Brian, Anissa, let me just tag everybody. I'm going to tag 96 people because they got to hear my complaint. I don't know why people tag 100 people in one of their complaints. Anyway. And if you didn't know this, listen, and I'm going to end with this. If you didn't know this, back then, they sacrificed their children to Moloch. That was their abortion. They would take their babies and just sacrifice them. They would put them through the belly of Moloch, they call it. That was their death god. And they would take babies just born, and in order for the blessing of Moloch, they would pass the baby and sacrifice it to Moloch. We're still doing it. But Abraham kept his cool. He lived righteous. And because the blessing of God was upon him, people came to him and said, we're not going to follow Moloch anymore. We want to follow you because you're God. Amen. How did you become so rich, very rich, in livestock and gold and silver? How are you such a warrior that the world, all the kings are afraid of you? And then what happens at the end of Genesis 14? Melchizedek comes out. King Melchizedek. And says, have some bread and some wine. And Abraham says, I'm going to tithe because you blessed me, God. I acknowledge the blessing of the Lord upon my life. Here's a tithe of everything I have. Amen. Again, just an intro. There's a lot in Abraham's life. We need to learn from Father Abraham how to live by faith in these days. Gas prices are going to continue to go up. How do we handle it? my God is going to supply all my needs. I live by faith. You know, Abraham was the only godly nation on the planet at the time. He was surrounded by wicked nations. He lived in right next door to wicked nations. It kind of feels like us today. We're surrounded by wicked nations. I'm not saying a specific nation is wicked. You know what I mean. I'm talking about the evil in the world. How do we exist? How do we live? I'm going to live righteous. I'm going to consider the rock that I've been cut from. I'm not going to get down in the dumps. Listen, folks, don't get down in the dumps. If you feel you're in a no-win situation, consider the rock that you've been cut from. Consider means to really think hard about it. In other words, pay attention. Get back in the book. Get back in the Word. What does the Word say about it? What rock have you been cut from? My Greek heritage gave me nothing except that I can read and write it. I don't consider that. I consider Father Abraham. I'm not putting Greeks down. You know what I mean? We're Christians. We're believers. And if you truly want the blessing of Abraham upon your life, can I give you one more? Sorry. Is it okay? Hold on. This is important. 1 Peter chapter 1. You're doing Peter, right?
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Watch this. New Living says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not just mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ." She's related to the queen. She is Queen of England, right? Cousins removed. Our ancestors gave us an empty life. Jesus gave us a whole new life. And what Jesus said, he told Isaiah to write this to us. Tell them when they're down in the dumps, when they seek in me, when they need deliverance, when things aren't going right, when gas prices go up, when baby formula shortages, when monkeypox hits the scene, he told Isaiah, tell them to consider the rock which you came from. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet, please.
Where do I go when the storms of life are threatening? Who do I talk to when the winds of sorrow blow? And is there a refuge in my time of tribulation? I go to the rock. I know that he's able. I go to the rock.